this political coliseum, we slay the rising beast with the fateful sword of truth that transcends hypocrisy and censorship. It's time to unleash yourself from the tyrants of media propaganda on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. This is Unleashed, the Political News Hour.
This is Unleashed, the Political News Hour on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. Chris Cordani here. You can follow me easily on X at ChrisCordani1. That's at ChrisCordani1. Later on in this program, I'm going to have the man behind the Truth Central website and the host of the Truth Central podcast, Dr. Jerome Corsi. He's going to be with me. We'll talk about his new book, which will present evidence, physical forensic evidence. The government was lying to everyone about the John F. Kennedy assassination. Every aspect of it. He goes in depth. We have x-rays. We have a proof of bullet fragments in the skull and proof even the x-rays were covered up. The autopsy was covered up and all this kind of cooperation. It was a huge effort just to fool the American public and hide what the deep state was really doing. And we're also going to talk about how the current deep state employs such similar approaches and operations. Let's get into what's happening. The Francis Scott Key Bridge crash was a huge tragedy. We understand that, and its impact will be felt for a very, very long time. But let's take a little bit of our program here and look into what happened afterward. The feds and the Maryland state governor were a bit too quickly, for my taste, to just rule out terrorism. I'm not going to say it was the cause. I am going to say that I don't trust anybody who tries to rule out maybe a worst-case scenario too quickly. Either they're hiding something for us, or they think we're so stupid that we need to be protected. Yes, questions should be asked, the investigation should be full, and I want to see more of what the NTSB is going to say about their investigation as the days move forward. Still, I'm always suspicious when governments will tell you, no, don't worry about it. Move along, nothing to see here. Again, let's not panic over it either. I just get curious. And there are questions being asked. General Mike Flynn is asking these questions. I saw an article in Zero Hedge. The idea is that footage of what happened, you saw two power outages. One, the ship was going on and off. It was in the video. And then after it went on again, it hits the bridge, causing it to collapse. The questions are around about why didn't it drop anchor so quickly, although Project Sentinel's Navy Captain Pete O'Brien said there could be a chance that an anchor would just break anyway and it wasn't going to work out. So these questions should be asked, but again, let's not jump to any conclusions. Other things that happened. President Joe Biden, in a speech later in the day, said the federal government will foot the bill. Another thing that makes me raise some questions. Why immediately does this man say the federal government will automatically foot the entire bill, while at the same time downplaying a reporter who asked a question about the importance of holding the ship company responsible? That's right. The guy just kind of blew it off and said, oh, it might happen later. That's what I got out of it. I'm watching this, man. It's almost like, hey, we're going to swoop in and do something about it and pay for this. We're going to print more money. I guess we might also, somewhere down the road, hold the shipping company responsible. I wouldn't hold my breath knowing how these people operate. One thing I'm also sick of in watching this guy is Joe Biden's phony empathy. Yes, phony. Since the 2020 campaign, Biden has used tragedies and disasters to stand in front of cameras and act like he cares about people. With similar lines like, there's an empty chair at the family table. Disclaimer, he didn't use that this time. But I've seen him use it. I saw him use it in East Palestine a year after what happened. The guy, I guess, didn't bother coming. His schedule is way too busy. We saw it during the 2020 campaign. There's an empty chair at the family table. He talks about his manufactured sorrow and how he feels for people who are hurt and killed. He did this when he spoke yesterday. Then as he tries to tell a story, usually fabricated or exaggerated to make the tragedy all about him. He did that again. This time, he told Americans he used to commute over the Francis Scott Key Bridge on the train. Okay, sure, Joe. What train tracks, though? There were never train tracks on that bridge. This is all phony, though. I understand some of you are going to say, well, Donald Trump makes some issues all about him, and he does. Trust me, I've seen it. I don't like it either. But he never hides that fact, and he doesn't use his fake empathy. No, he just says something, makes it about him. Again, not that I love it, but he does do that. He doesn't try to convince you or tug on your heartstrings, if you will, that the way Joe Biden does, where he can emotionally trigger his followers to later foolishly post on social media how Biden has so much empathy and feelings for others. He really cares. I know you've seen this if you're on social media. These people are the most gullible on earth. And if they cannot see through any of this, and I guess that's on them, not on me. I also want to note that he walked out on a reporter at the very end who asked about Benjamin Netanyahu canceling his meeting with the president. Biden turned around and said, oh, I don't need to talk about that. No, we could talk about that later. I'm paraphrasing. He just walked out. And on Israel, what gives Biden, Schumer, and the virtue signalers at the UN any right to order Benjamin Netanyahu to not protect Israel's people and his sovereignty? Nothing. What gives Biden, Schumer, et al. The right to get rid of Netanyahu because things aren't going their way? Nothing. And another one. NBC fires Rona McDaniel, the former RNC chair, quickly after their opinion hosts. I'm going to say opinion hosts because they're not journalists. I don't consider the likes of Joy Reid or Joe Scarborough or Chuck Todd or Rachel Maddow journalists. They're really fifth column Operation Mockingbird assets. They whined about this woman being hired. I'm no McDaniel fan. She has a huge losing streak. Reminds me of George Bamberger when he was a Mets manager. Different story, different day. Or perhaps maybe the Yankees stump Merrill. Remember him? But she was not fired because the hosts were whining about her discussion about the 2020 election questions. You know, most of us asked about these things. She was really fired because NBC and MSNBC's hosts screeched about it, kicked, screamed, and cried over the idea they would be challenged on their own platforms by someone who would present research and throw back at them in an environment that they would have less control of had she not been in the studio with him as an unpaid guest or someone they could talk over on some kind of quarter screen. That's how it works. The left and the mainstream media absolutely fear being proven wrong and questioned after the numerous hoaxes and conspiracy theories they legitimize, which were proven wrong. And I don't know if I have really any time to start with this list. We can go the 2000 and 2016 election overturning attempts, the covering up of Fast and Furious, the Russiagate conspiracy theory, the Covington kid, Jussie Smollett, more. I don't have a full show to go down this whole thing. That's what they do. Seriously, NBC just bowed to the whining of the likes of the overrated Scarborough, Maddow, Chuck Todd et al. And these are people who bury themselves in ideological safe zones on their shows and who'd be terrified to have to talk to someone who offers the outside of their fantasy realities and would push back at them and make them do some actual research. And by the way, anybody who ever watched the old CPO Sharky show was with Don Rickles in the Navy. He played a chief petty officer. Doesn't Chuck Todd remind you of Lieutenant Whipple? If you've seen the show, that's that guy that every time he talks and orders Sharky around, he leaves and you have Don Rickles looking in the camera doing like a ferret sound going. That's what Chuck Todd looks like. That's what he reminds me of, at least. For the latest health resources and product innovations that may well enhance your life, use the code OUTLOUD at the America Out Loud shop. Check it out. It's the AmericaOutloud.shop. AmericaOutloud.shop is the page. It's called the America Out Loud Shop. I have to get that straight. But use the code OUTLOUD. I have that right. Straight ahead, Dr. Jerome Corsi brings forth forensic evidence. John F. Kennedy was not murdered by one man. The assassination was premeditated by several levels of the deep state, and he was at least physically shot by three different people. His new book on the subject is a game changer, and we'll talk about it on Unleash the Political News Hour.
Don't Don't accept joint aches and stiffness as part of aging. Doctors at Advanced Nutrition Company, Healthy Cell, created Joint Health and Mobility to support connective tissue, joint lubrication, and reduce joint irritation with curcumin, omega-3, chondroitin, glucosamine, and hyaluronic acid for joint comfort and flexibility. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a gel you swallow. Get 100% drug-free joint support. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. That's HealthyCell.com. Code out loud.
Millions of Americans are needlessly suffering from the long-haul effects of the toxic spike protein. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company designed their spike support formula to counteract harmful spike protein from COVID-19 and vaccines so you can feel your best. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order.
ASEA believes that inside each of us is the potential to feel and be our very best. Our customers will tell you how our products have made a difference for them, from improving immune health, regulating hormone balance, supporting gut health, to soothing the skin, even reducing the appearance of wrinkles, fine lines, and cellulite, and providing targeted support for mind, mood, energy, and even our body's own production of collagen. Make our breakthrough products an essential step in becoming your best self and fulfilling your greatest potential. ASEA, we power potential. For exclusive savings, use code OUTLOUD to save 15% off your first order today.
Back on Unleash, the political news hour on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. I'm Chris Cordani. Once again, follow me on X at ChrisCordani1. That's at ChrisCordani1. I'm still amazed at how many people still take the word of the government and its Operation Mockingbird Media as fact. The latter generally takes PR from the former and pretends it's news. Yes, they actually do that. You've been seeing it for a long time. I remember back as a college freshman in the late 80s. We, at least in the broadcast section, the broadcast media section, we were taught to never do that. Always verify, ask questions, and never take the government's or anybody's word as fact. Case in point, aside from today, the John F. Kennedy assassination. It has been suspected by many that not only has the government been lying about it all along, but components of the deep state had something to do with it. That's hard to prove, but does anyone really believe some rando could have pulled this off alone? Seriously? With me is a man many of you know. A man who has extensively investigated this matter, and by the way, many others. But he's written a book which will change the way you think about John F. Kennedy's assassination. It's called The Final Analysis. Forensic analysis of the JFK autopsy. X-rays proves two headshots from the right front and one from the rear. Written by, again, both my guest, Dr. Corsi, and Dr. David Mancek. Dr. Corsi is also the host of the Truth Central podcast. We'll talk about that, too. Welcome to Unleashed, the Political News Hour, Dr. Corsi.
Thank you, Chris. It's great to be with you today.
Well, great to be with you, too. That one shooter narrative has been challenged since the assassination, Dr. Corsi. But before we get into your findings, when was it, as a young person, even thinking about this, when was it that you said something really isn't right for the first time about Kennedy's murder? I'm curious.
Well, I was 17 years old when Jack Kennedy was killed. And the day it happened, I thought it was something wasn't right about. I knew it was a conspiracy. I mean, if you follow closely, I was in high school last year, my senior year in high school. And of course, I immediately started watching the television as soon as I got home. We found out the news in Cleveland, where I was going to St. Ignatius High School at that time. About 3:30, when the school was about letting out, and all the information kept changing. First, they thought they found a Mauser. It was reported Walter Cronkite said the rifle found in the sixth floor of the Texas School Book Depository was a Mauser, and then it just changed to a Mannlicher Carcano. And I'm saying, what happened to the Mauser? You know, you don't miss a Mauser. I mean, I was raised by the World War II generation, and my father and others, they knew weapons, and Mauser was stamped right there on the trigger mechanism of a Mauser. You couldn't miss it. And all the events, so conveniently, they found Lee Harvey Oswald. And within like an hour, they captured him. And he kept saying that he's a patsy, that he was really not part of the assassination. Somebody come forward. I'm looking for somebody to come forward. They aren't giving me a lawyer. Yeah, all the things that Oswald was saying, I began to question whether or not the case was being made against him too quickly and too presumptively. And so I was scared. And then, of course, on the Sunday morning when Jack Ruby shot Lee Harvey Oswald on TV, it looked just like a mob silencing. And I was convinced at that point that the whole thing was rotten and just did not believe the Lee Harvey Oswald narrative at all. And again, that deepened as I did research about it over the years. This is my second book on JFK. 10 years ago, I wrote a book called Who Really Killed JFK? And I'll stand by that book. It's still very good. I look at all the politics behind JFK's death, whereas this most recent book is focused on the medical evidence, the forensic evidence. And I think this book is the final analysis because it makes it clear that JFK suffered two frontal shots. And from the Elgin's photograph taken by an AP photographer when Kennedy was holding up his arms because of the throat wound, you could see Alchins was standing in front of the limousine. You could see the Texas School Book Depository behind the JFK limousine. So you know if Lee Harvey Oswald was up on the sixth floor, the sole gun assassin shooting at John Kennedy, there could not have been any shots from the front. So the forensic evidence makes the official story a complete lie. And this book really, in 564 pages, in very careful analysis, a lot of illustrations, makes it clear that the government's been lying to us for 60 years. The deep state has been in control of the narrative, and it's really a shock. This book reframes. It's a paradigm shift. Anybody who reads this book is going to be jarred to see the truth.
I want to just stress this. This is forensic evidence. It's not theories. It's not we're putting this person together with this person to find out who might have done it or who thought they did it, or maybe put certain angles together that we may have seen the bullets come from on film. You have actual forensic evidence that Kennedy was shot three times in the head from different angles. Now, unless Lee Harvey Oswald was the Flash, I don't think he could have done that.
That's right. And my co-author, David Mantic, has a PhD in physics and an MD. He's a radiation oncologist. And for over 40 years, he's been studying X-rays for cancer patients, which is a very serious business. He's been publishing his findings for some 30 years. His scientific background is so profound that it's hard for the general public to understand his argument. I decided to work with him. I interviewed him several years ago, and we spent the last year writing this book, how to explain what he found to the American people. Now, simply, there are three X-rays of JFK's skull in the National Archives. Dr. Mandic has seen them more than anyone else, 9 times. He has taken in a densitometer, which is an instrument, scientific instrument, that it has an arm. You press it down on the X-ray, and so you put a point on the film is placed under the light source. The arm is pushed down to make contact with the film to exclude all outside light. And the detector measures how much light gets through the film. The device then converts this to an optical density units, which are measured in logarithms. Now, in the book, I explain all this in common sense terms, but let me go to the findings. Dr. Mantic found two things. Number one, all three of these JFK X-rays are not the original. They're copies, and they are copies that were altered to mask evidence of frontal shooting, which is pretty shocking in and of itself. Secondly, they are JFK's X-rays because the dental records match a skull X-ray that JFK had taken before he was assassinated. That X-ray is up in the Kennedy Library, Presidential Library up in Boston. The teeth are the same. Number three, there's clear evidence of three headshots. One hit Jack Kennedy in the temple, an entrance wound above the right eye at the hairline, And you can see the bullet fragments going across the top of the head. We very clearly illustrate that even on the cover with a blue line and arrow. The last fragment, the largest fragment, which had the most momentum, is in the back of the head, which is further evidence that this was a frontal shot and there's no exit wound. There's no entry point for it to have been a back shot. The second frontal shot was in the temporal bone by the right ear, created a keyhole fracture that you can see in the x-ray. That's what happens when it's a tangential or a oblique shot. In other words, it blew out the right back of JFK's head, where that white patch is superimposed on the faked x-ray to mask the back of the head.
Since we don't have that in front of us on a radio program, I do want to ask you one question. First off, I want to also say that Dr. Corsi and Dr. Mantic's book, The Final Analysis, Forensic Analysis of the JFK Autopsy, X-rays proves two headshots from the right front and one from the rear. It actually has photos of these x-rays in the book. You can follow along as you read. Kind of describe it a little bit, how everything went through.
Well, and even if you look at the cover of the book on Amazon, right, where it's available, you can see what I'm talking about. So it's available. So one shot to the right top forehead, one shot in front of the right ear that blew out the back of the head, and the third shot hit from behind at the back of the head, right at the knob on the back of the head. It was from a low angle. Now, I think the sequence of shots, it's hard to know for sure, but I know that the Harper fragment, which was blown out of the back of the head, it was called Harper fragment because a gentleman named Harper found it on the grass on the other side of the grassy knoll across the Elm Street, flew off the left rear, flew back and hit the patrolman, the Dallas police officer who was riding the motorcycle to the immediate left of the limousine. So it was a frontal shot that splattered JFK's brains and his brain tissue and bone on this policeman and shot the Harper fragment to behind the limousine onto the grass. Now, that Harper fragment has evidence in it also of an entrance wound, which is seen as a puncture mark, and it has metal on it. So evidently the shot that entered the back of the head hit just before the shot that hit by the ear, which blew out the Harper fragment. The Harper fragment thus has evidence of both a frontal and a rear shot, because the little puncture wound with the metal, that's a shot from behind. The blowout and the shot at the right ear, that's a shot from the front. Two shots from the front mean that Lee Harvey Oswald was not the lone gun assassin. And what makes this so compelling a story is that the doctors at Parkland Hospital saw all the wounds as frontal shots. They did a press conference and they said that.
Yeah, this is strange, because we all know about the government cover-up, the actual moving people around and everything else, but this is an actual physical cover-up.
Right. And the doctors at Parkland Hospital said the shots were from the front. They gave a press conference, and the government, the Secret Service, for the moment the JFK limousine arrived at Parkland Hospital, it sped to Parkland Hospital on 7th Freeway immediately after Jack Kennedy was shot. It only took a couple of minutes to get there. The Secret Service was watering down and got buckets of water and was erasing the blood from the back of the limousine, back seat. They were destroying a crime scene, and there was a puncture mark in the windshield that came from the front again. You can tell that because the windshield was seen as smooth on the outside, but beveled on the inside. That's the way safety glass reacts when shot from the front. Okay, it always, the entrance wound is a puncture wound. The exit wound is a blowout. And so therefore, the Secret Service hid that. And the Dallas Hospital, John Rose, one of the pathologists at Parkland Hospital, was there to do the autopsy. Because in 1963, shooting the president was not a federal crime. This was a murder in Dallas. The Secret Service, at gunpoint, took JFK's body, put it in the ceremonial cask, wheeled it out, put it in the ambulance from the funeral home that provided the casket, and drove it to Love Field. So they would not allow an honest autopsy be done in Dallas. The Secret Service and the government had control of all the evidence, which means that the government altered the evidence. No one else could have done it.
Right, like a pre-autopsy autopsy, if you will, or an untopsy. That's what I'll call it, an untopsy.
Well, that you're right. I mean, they get back in the airplane, and they have to wait for Lyndon Johnson to be sworn in. And then the Air Force One takes off from Love Field in Dallas to get back to Andrews Air Force Base in Washington. While in flight, the Dallas police apprehend Lee Harvey Oswald and name him as the shooter of JFK. So in the time the airplane's in the air flying back, the Alton's photograph is also published. And so the world knows that Jack Kennedy could only have been shot from the back if this narrative is true. So the doctors at Parkland face a big problem because the wounds when Kennedy left Parkland all showed frontal shots. So they had to secret away the body of Jack Kennedy. They had to steal the body. They got it to the Bethesda morgue in Washington, D.C., an hour and a half before the official autopsy started. And there's excellent evidence, which we show you very, very well documented in the Assassinations Records Review Board. Douglas Horn, who did 5 volumes for the ARRB, wrote an introduction to the book and helped us put this together. The Navy personnel saw Jack Kennedy's body enter the Bethesda morgue in a steel shipping casket like they used in Vietnam in a body bag. That's not how the body left Dallas. And it was an hour and a half before the official autopsy, and Doctors Hume and Boswell, the two of the Bethesda doctors of the three pathologists who did the autopsy, Hume and Boswell did pre-autopsy surgery an hour and a half before the official autopsy to alter the wounds, to make it all look like frontal shots.
Now, I think
all look like back shots. Right, they erase the evidence of frontal shots.
So people are going to ask this question, Dr. Corsi, and I'm talking to Dr. Jerome Corsi. His new book with Dr. David Mantic is called The Final Analysis, Forensic Analysis of the JFK Autopsy, with X-rays proving 2 headshots from the right front and 1 from the rear. The real question is here, okay? There are actually 2 questions. First, how did you and Dr. Mantic find out or figure out they removed the evidence of the forehead bullet and other damning damage? And more importantly, how did nobody else discover this or kind of discover and keep quiet?
Well, it has been discovered. I mean, the Assassinations Records Review Board in the 90s produced this evidence, and Douglas Horn, who was on the staff of the Assassinations Records Review Board, governmental agency created after the Oliver Stone film in 1991, the JFK film, their task was to declassify documents. They did a lot of interviewing, and Douglas Horn wrote a 5-volume book called Inside the ARRB, Assassinations Records Review Board, on the medical evidence, and he made it abundantly clear and did interviews with these Navy personnel who were involved in any way with the autopsy, that Jack Kennedy's body entered the autopsy early. The Boswell and Hume were seen doing pre-autopsy surgery. It's clear from the autopsy photographs that were produced, the massive damage done to JFK's head, which on the autopsy, in the pre-autopsy surgery, in that pre-morgue, those photographs show a very different head wound set, much more massive than was seen at Dallas at Parkland Hospital. So the wounds are altered. And the testimonial evidence is clear that the doctors at Bethesda, the night of the autopsy, November 22nd, 1963, the same day as the assassination, badgered the doctors at Parkland to change their story, threatening to remove their medical certification if they wouldn't go along with the official narrative. And this was very difficult. There were 3 different sets of autopsy notes made, and this is all in the public record. So again, the problem has been much of this is very technical, and it's like CSI, crime scene investigation. It has to be explained. Yeah. It makes it fun, but it has to be explained.
Right. And it's like, and of course the cleaning and handling of the whole thing was rather amazing. We can get into that next segment, but think about this. They cleaning the crime scene, and that particular crime scene was the skull of a president just after a sitting president, if you will.
Yeah. And the erasing of the blood evidence from the limousine at Parkland with a pail of water. I mean, the Secret Service has got to know that's destruction of evidence. The body is the best evidence. And if the body is altered in pre-autopsy surgery, and by the way, two FBI agents attending the autopsy wrote in their 302 report of the report of their being at the scene that there was pre-autopsy surgery. Now, they weren't surgeons, so it had to be that Dr. Hume explained to the gallery and the real autopsy there had been pre-autopsy surgery. That was shocking. Now, David Bellin found that out in a book called Best Evidence in the 1980s. But what Douglas Horn's work was so important, and while we wrote in the book, was he tracked down the Navy personnel who were there that night, who saw three different casket entries into Bethesda in this shifting game to make it look like a card trick, that they got Jack Kennedy's body surreptitiously into the morgue, flying it by helicopter from Andrews Air Force Base to Bethesda, while with a cortege with the Navy ambulance is going from Andrews Air Force Base to Bethesda with an empty casket. I mean, it's a remarkable story. And it's so remarkable, people wouldn't believe it except that it happened. And there's abundant documentary evidence. We show you the illustrations. We show you the windshield wound, the shot through the windshield. But this means there were at least three shooters. There had to have been a shooter on the grassy knoll. There was a shooter in the Dell Tech building, a low angle from behind. There's a shooter on the south side of the Dealey Plaza, across from the grassy knoll, above, under the triple underpass. You know, above that was a railroad yard, and there was a concrete rail up there, and you can see in some of the photographs that there was a shooter there. So those three shooters we know had to have been there, because those are the angles of the shots that in a forensic analysis of JFK's skull X-ray are clearly there.
You can extremely skilled sharpshooters, I might have to add.
Yeah, these guys were, whomever they were, their names are really not important, because these had to have been the most expert shots that the government could find to do the job. And they were shooting on, you know, Jack Kennedy was coming down on Elm Street, was descending at about a 3-degree angle. The car was twisting. These guys, three shots hit the head. I don't know how many shooters are actually there. I don't know if there were any shots fired from the Texas School Book Depository. Certainly none of the shots that hit JFK's head were fired from the sixth floor where Oswald was supposed to have been. That's the shocking point.
The book is The Final Analysis, Forensic Analysis of the JFK Autopsy. X-rays proves two headshots from the right front and one from the rear. Written by my guest, Dr. Jerome Corsi and Dr. David Mantek. America Out Loud News is where you can get all the articles, podcasts, and pertinent news. Always the uncensored truth from a team of truth seekers who always put God and country first. And there are lots of those. Check us out on AmericaOutloud.news. I'm Chris Cordeni. This is Unleash the Political News Hour. I have more with Dr. Jerome Corsi straight ahead.
Expert opinions, honest debate, and in-depth investigations are what you've come to expect from AmericaOutloud.news. We don't shy away from speaking the truth boldly and plainly. All that's missing is the propaganda that has infected legacy and social media. Get the best of down and dirty, wholesome American speak. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Come cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, HealRight is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit HealRight.com/outloud or AmericaOutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Who's got time for a nasal invasion messing up your lifestyle? Crush those nasties before they become a problem. For a limited time, when you add the new Cofix RX Throat Spray to your order with the coupon code OUTLOUD, you'll receive 20% off the entire purchase. Go to AmericaOutloud.shop. That's AmericaOutloud.shop and use coupon code OUTLOUD.
Use Cofix RX because it works.
You're listening to AmericaOutloud.news's Unleashed, the Political News Hour. And if you were watching me on some sort of video, I wouldn't have a collar on because I'm unleashed. That's why they call it that. I'm Chris Cordeni. Once again, my guest is here with me, Dr. Jerome Corsi. He is the host of the Truth Central podcast and the co-author with Dr. David Mantic of The Final Analysis, Forensic Analysis of the JFK Autopsy. X-rays proves two headshots from the right front and one from the rear. This has forensic evidence that John F. Kennedy was not shot by some guy, one person. No, at least three had to have been involved in this. And we know that he was hit three times. This is proven. This is all over the book. You have pictures, x-rays, you have a full forensic accounts here. Dr. Corsi, looking at this, reading the book and working with you on this, I do work with you on your show. And I have to offer that full disclosure. You have to think about this. And you've been working on this particular assassination for a long time. The government completely covered up how Kennedy was killed and who really did it. But a 60-year cover-up, get this, by the CIA, the FBI, the Pentagon, Secret Service et al. Imagine the extreme effort it took to put this together. Keeping canaries from singing, playing the media, shutting up government officials, getting doctors to get involved in this, the conspiring, the timing, then covering up the evidence. With all this cooperation, all this effort, it couldn't be just to get out of the Viet or just to get into the Vietnam War. We all know Kennedy didn't want to be in there. There must have been a lot more than this just to get rid of this guy.
Well, it was a conspiracy that involved clearly the CIA and the military industrial complex. There were generals at the autopsy who gave the orders to the doctors about what they were permitted to do and not do. It was a military directed autopsy, not a medically directed autopsy. Secondly, we have in the book a CIA memo, which was released in the release of documents in the Kennedy case. It was 1967 memo, and the CIA made an official policy to regard as disinformation.
That's familiar.
As anybody who objected to the Warren Commission report, and it even says to employ propaganda assets to answer and refute the attacks made against the Warren Commission by critics, who employ propaganda assets to answer and refute. So this is a clear CIA involvement in the cover-up. Then you've got the mainstream media, which went along with the story about Lee Harvey Oswald being the assailant, not doing, and Department of Justice, FBI did not do an effective investigation. They just assumed that this accepted the government's naming of Lee Harvey Oswald. The CIA, John Foster Dulles was Secretary of State under President Eisenhower, and Alan Dulles was head of the CIA, including under Kennedy. They were brothers, both globalists, both, hating the idea that JFK wanted to, in any way, make peace with Russia, did not want to go to war in Vietnam. We'll cover that in a minute. But the point is that the CIA was involved, the media was involved, Secret Service was destroying evidence, getting the windshield of the limousine. They flew it to Dearborn, Michigan. They replaced the windshield. They had to replace it three times because the Secret Service and the FBI didn't understand how a bullet goes through plexiglass. They got it wrong a couple of times, had to do it over. It's a remarkable story. And the cover-up was massive, and it's still going on. We still, you know, President Trump did not yet, he said he was going to release all the records. He didn't. I'm sure the CIA came to, President Trump said, if you release these records, it's going to cause us a national security disaster. Well, let's have the national security. These people have been lying. This is a deep state lying. It was a coup d'etat. It was not an assassination. It was a coup d'etat. And the government got away with it because, like today, the government controls the media. So the government controls the narrative. And they control the psychological techniques to make something, a shocking event, be played out the way the government wants you to see it. And that often hides the government's complicity in causing the event. The CIA has been involved in a lot of nefarious activity, and this is known over the years. We have to ask ourselves a lot of questions. Why did we go into Vietnam? Why, you know, what is the truth about 9/11? What is the truth about the Iraq wars? These things become different once you get your mind around that the CIA's goal is to move the United States into a globalist direction, to commit assassinations, even the coup d'etat to kill Jack Kennedy in the open daylight, and then to lie about it for 60 years, to have Lee Harvey Oswald killed, even though he was likely innocent. I don't see any evidence that Lee Harvey Oswald shot anyone that day. He failed the paraffin test.
Yeah, they rubbed him out rather quickly, too, as we know.
Right. I mean, soon that Sunday after the assassination on Friday, Jack Ruby shoots and kills Lee Harvey Oswald very conveniently in the basement of the police station, as the Dallas police station, as they're transferring him to a county jail. I mean, this should have been a secure location.
Well, think about this. You used a key word that has been often used since then and pretty much overused today, disinformation. The idea is, well, the news media told you this, the government told you this, and if you ask us any questions about it, that means you got disinformation. Somebody was lying to you. Let's dismiss all of that. That's what you're getting today. And people, I know there are more people questioning such things, but if you watch people on social media, they just fall in line once they hear disinformation. It's almost like people in a Pavlovian sense are afraid to question anything because they don't want to be the oddballs. They don't want to be the kids that aren't invited to the cool kids' lunch table because they don't believe what everybody else believes.
Well, government's learned a lot over the years about propaganda and techniques of manipulating opinion, and the government does it constantly. And this whole idea of disinformation is a design currently to quell any dissent, any criticism of the government. I mean, we saw it during, you know, don't dare question pandemic.
Yeah.
Don't dare question all these other things that you know, are in fact questionable. Don't dare say that all these ballots that suddenly appeared in 2020, truckloads of them, don't say there was voter fraud. Don't investigate it. Well, the government lies, and the government lies knowing that people are going to believe the government, and the mainstream media goes along with it. We have evidence from the Church Committee in the 70s, going far back into the CIA history, that Operation Mockingbird was actually CIA paying journalists to tell their story. Well, today they don't have to pay them because they're all on the same leftist side. It's hard to get your mind around that our CIA, our State Department, are leftists, and they do favor a global government, even if it means the demise of the U.S. government. It's a deep state.
It's true.
And the deep state lies. Deep state will commit assassinations, will cause revolutions. The Maidan revolution in Ukraine, which was orchestrated by the State Department and George Soros to depose Yanukovych, who was a duly elected president of Ukraine, but favorable to Russia. And our State Department and CIA wanted to push NATO to the borders of Russia, even if Russia considers that to be a very aggressive act, you know, that blocks their access to the sea through the Black Sea. These two provinces in eastern Ukraine have been Russian for hundreds of years. They were part of the Russian Federation. They were independent for a while. I mean, all these things, again, the narratives you get listening to the news media are narratives that are meant to program your mind to accept a version of a lie. And you've got to begin, you've always said, you go to Washington, first thing you got to assume is that everybody talking to you is lying. Your only question is, why are they lying? What do they want? How are they trying to benefit themselves? And then you can begin to sort out what's the truth. But the truth about JFK's assassination and the hard evidence of the x-rays, and I salute Dr. Mantic for having done this tedious work and writing about it. It's just that now with this book, the American public has access to the information in a readable form. It reads almost like a mystery novel. It's heavily illustrated. It's 564 pages long. We published it as a paperback initially to make it $23, I believe, affordable, even for a book this size. You can get a hard copy, and you can get an electronic version. It's only available right now on Amazon.
You can get that through your website, though, I believe. And your website is thetruthcentral.com. So if you go on Dr. Corsi's thetruthcentral.com website, there will be a link to the book. On the side, on the left side, you'll see your latest books. And this isn't your only book that you've put out in the last couple of years. We could, if I had a six-hour show, I could talk about at least two of your books.
Well, I've done also The Truth About Energy, Global Warming, and Climate Change, which has done very well, and the Truth About Neo-Marxism, Cultural Maoism, and Anarchy, which is also doing well. By the way, I've already had an offer to publish the JFK, the assassination of JFK, the final analysis in Italy. I think it will also be published in Hungary. This is going to be international interest, because if the JFK assassination was a coup d'etat, if there were at least three shooters, if there were frontal shots, that means that the government, since the day of the assassination, has altered the evidence and lied to the American people. So the deep state, this combination of the CIA, Department of State, military-industrial complex, media, Department of Justice, has been running this country since 1963, if not sooner. And all the illusion that we've had duly elected presidents have got to be re-examined in light of the CIA's ability to manipulate reality. It's like we're living in a Truman Show, you know, Jim Carrey, where he thinks he's living an authentic life, but then you see on the outside, there's the stage directors and everybody in his life is an actor. Well, that's how we've been living with CIA constructed realities that were designed to manipulate us, but are lies at their very heart.
As a person who was not born at the time, I was born in 1969. So I was never around to watch the fascination with Kennedy, the initial fascination with the Beatles, and of course, Lyndon Baines Johnson's rather interesting presidency, which had its, let's put it this way. It's had its media moments, if you will, and it rolled us into one of the worst wars this country has seen. It's considered the first loss we had, if you really want to talk about the Vietnam War. But for all accounts, even with the whitewashing of his record, for the most part in the history books, Lyndon Baines Johnson comes off as a slime ball pretty much. And I'm always, and in a lot of the research, the reading I do of your books and other people who have come out and done research on, done independent research on the JFK assassination, I always thought Lyndon Baines Johnson had a lot to do with the killing. At the risk of making an accusation when I shouldn't be, and I'm not going to make the full accusation, but how far off am I to think that he at least had his hands in this?
Well, in my first book on the assassination of Jack Kennedy, which I wrote 10 years ago, it's called Who Really Killed JFK, I named Lyndon Johnson as he knew about the plot, he approved of the plot, he benefited from the plot. The Kennedys were going to remove him from office. They had a scandal with Billy Saul Estes that was going to be in Life magazine the next week after Jack Kennedy was assassinated. And the real reason I think Jack Kennedy was killed is he wouldn't go to war. And the Cuban Missile Crisis, Our Joint Chiefs wanted to invade Cuba. They wanted to go to war with Russia for putting nuclear missiles in Cuba. Our Joint Chiefs, which had Curtis LeMay on it, he had firebombed citizens in Dresden and all through Germany, created firestorms, which took the oxygen out of the air. People died of asphyxiation as well as getting burned to death and blown apart. Then he firebombed Japan. He had dropped two nuclear bombs on you know, Japan to end the war. Well, Curtis LeMay wanted to go to war in 1962 in the Cuba Missile Crisis, and he didn't care if it was nuclear because he thought we had a first strike advantage. He wanted to nuke it out right then. Well, Jack Kennedy said no. It appalled him. He back-channeled to Khrushchev. They found a solution because Khrushchev's deep state also wanted to go to war. There's a lot of money to be made in war. And when it came around to Vietnam, Jack Kennedy had been in Vietnam in 1950. He knew that the CIA and its predecessor organization, the OSS, had been running drugs out of Southeast Asia since the 1940s. He knew it was corrupt. Jack Kennedy had ordered our advisors out of Vietnam before he died, and the military, CIA, wanted to fight that war. There was billions of dollars to be made, Bell helicopters. We're going to create a new army that was air cavalry. We weren't going to have the tanks and stationary military that we had in World War II, the kind of military we have today. They wanted to experiment. Billions of dollars were made. Wars are fought for the money, and they are architected for the money. And the deep state and the bankers are the ones who benefit, arms manufacturers. And Jack Kennedy gave a speech at American University. He said, we have to coexist on this planet. Wars don't solve anything. He and Khrushchev arranged the nuclear test ban treaty. Kennedy was assassinated. Khrushchev was removed from office in Russia. The deep states on both sides wanted war.
So let's take it into today. We only have a few minutes left, Dr. Jerome Corsi. We, an era, the 1960s, the government was able to cover up an assassination and kill a president. And not only him, there were other people who were murdered, like RFK. And there are thoughts about Marilyn Monroe's death being, let's just say somewhat connected in the manner of a JFK assassination. But instead of going off on that tangent, I'd rather bring it into today and say this is an era where the media is being used and the government's being used, or I should say components of the government's being used by the very powerful deep state to maybe not assassinate people, but to throw them in jail, you commit lawfare against them, throw political prisoners in jail, drag them across the mud, deplatform them on social media. There are theories that certain people might have been rubbed out as well in recent years, if you will. But let's just put it into the fact that looking back at this JFK assassination, it may have served, or it should have served, as a brilliant warning to what could happen to anybody today and in the future if you don't watch your government and elect your officials properly.
Well, I'm saying this book is a paradigm changer. It's a major shift. Once you understand that the government killed Jack Kennedy and covered it up, you'll never look at politics the same, because you'll realize the extent government will go to lie to you, and how many things that you believe happened that you think were legitimate were constructed stories that the CIA planted in your head through psychological warfare in order to achieve their goals. Alan Dulles was a globalist. Before World War II, Alan Dulles worked with Prescott Bush, the father of George H.W. Bush, Brown Brothers Harriman, and they funded Hitler. During World War II, Alan Dulles, head of the CIA, my name in my first book, who really killed JFK as the consigliere, the chief planner of the JFK assassination, and the guy who showed up to protect the CIA and the Warren Commission, that Alan Dulles, World War II, was in Bern, Switzerland. He was working with Bormann, who was secretary to Hitler, and they were getting, Alan Dulles was helping get Nazi money out of Germany, gold and submarines, and he invested money in the U.S. stock market for the Nazis. all the money from the Holocaust and the like that they stole from the Jews. Alan Dulles helped the Nazis get out of the country, out of Germany, to Argentina or the United States before the war ended. Alan Dulles took part of the Gestapo and made a part of the CIA. Alan Dulles looked at a globalism. Hitler was a socialist, national socialist, Nazi. And he had the first idea that small global elite, you know, the transhumans, that today's transhumans would self-appoint, they'd be the rulers of the world. Hitler would rule the world, self-appointed, working with the multinational corporations who would exploit the world so for their benefit. All the rest of us would be relatively useless peons who would occasionally get a free government vacation or a Volkswagen that we could ride on a autostrada that government paid for.
Useless eaters, if you will, right?
And be happy because the government was providing for us.
That's
okay,
right.
Well, that's the same formula we got today. A little bit of socialism. You know, you've got Harari running around. There's Noah Harari from the World Economic Forum saying...
Agenda setter, yes.
Yeah, you're agenda setter. He only sets the agenda for the World Economic Forum.
He's not really...
Not that important, yeah. Well, he's saying that the vast majority of human beings are worthless, useless. There's nothing for them to do because the machines will do all the work. And the oligarchs, the ones self-appointed, few who will run the world, will be able to plant chips in their brains, and they'll become like computers, and they'll be transhuman. And the rest of us will have the internet, and we'll have Netflix, we'll have sporting events, and we'll have drugs to keep us happy.
Well, they would think that. The only problem is inflation has made a lot of those things out of reach for some people, or at least all of them. So that could be an issue as well.
These evil agendas never work. They're right. Always self-destruct. They're about death, destruction, control, death, suicide, disease. It's the four horsemen of the apocalypse, and it looks like the globalist transhumans are out running naked to the finish line, thinking that they've got to hurry up and put in place their totalitarian state before Donald Trump gets a chance to destroy it.
Thank you again, Dr. Jerome Corsi, for coming on to Unleash the Political News Hour with me.
My great pleasure. Thank you, Chris.
Once again, the book is called The Final Analysis, Forensic Analysis of the JFK Autopsy. X-rays proves two headshots from the right front and one from the rear, written by Dr. David Mantic and my guest, Dr. Jerome Corsi. Again, also the host of the Truth Central podcast. You can find that on thetruthcentral.com, wherever you get your podcasts. And of course, check out that new book. You can get it on the website, thetruthcentral.com. Dr. Corsi, you can also be followed on X at Corsi Jerome 1. That's Corsi Jerome 1. And I could be followed on X as well at Chris Cordani 1. A lot of ones here. Chris Cordani 1. And check out the articles, podcasts, and pertinent news on AmericaOutloud.news, where we always have that uncensored truth with a team of truth seekers, including those who are also with me on Unleash the Political News Hour on Thursday, Friday, Monday, and Tuesday, all here on America Out Loud's Talk Radio Network. Thank you very much. Again, I'm Chris Cordani. Let's unleash the truth.